Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Historical, magnificent events, our holiest week. 300 years before Jesus enters Jerusalem, there was another king. Triumphal entry, welcomed with great jubilation. That king, Alexander the Great. Jewish historian Josephus tells us Alexander entered Jerusalem on a powerful war horse that served him well in battle. And the parade of grandeur that would cause him and you to marvel. The chariots and military might display, the musicians, the choir, the parade of animals, parade of conquered peoples, exotic treasures from conquered lands, precious materials, an amazing display of power and might and majesty. Triumphal entries throughout human history are to show strength, a conquering king. And the high priest led Alexander to the temple, where they opened up the book of Daniel to the place that predicted the coming Greek ruler who would destroy the Persian Empire. And all agreed Alexander was his conquering hero. What contrast to Jesus entering Jerusalem. Lowly, humble, as meek as you can get, unlike earthly kings. A borrowed donkey, an animal of peace. Instead of being hailed with hundreds of archers, chariots, horsemen, not as a military warrior, and rebuked by the religious leaders. But Jesus, fulfilling prophecy that day, crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Save us now, Lord." They know God's word, recorded by the prophets and David. They greet him with Psalm 118. This is the Christ of God, their Messiah, the Savior. And the words from Zechariah you heard are used, you know, to speak of a royal wedding. God's people, the bride, the lowly bridegroom, to bring peace in humble procession to meet his beloved. Yet, he has come to do battle. It may all seem like ancient history. I mean, for some of you, your confirmation seems like ancient history. I mean, know this well, how your God shows his strength. How? Where? He is king. And his triumphal entry tied to Good Friday. His power in humbleness, not to conquer but to be conquered, not to take life but to lay his down, not to judge but be condemned, not to punish sin but be punished for yours. And his most majestic crown, thorns, tied to the curse of your first parents, he's come to undo. His throne is glory, the cross, as he declares. And he's lifted up, all for you, to draw all people unto myself, there, where he dies to have you. See his glory, your glory, there. Behold your king. Ponder the great love of God that sent him to Jerusalem for the forgiveness of sins. His love to save his people. There's no other way. We have no other help, no other hope, no other life. I mean, your corruption, your unworthiness, stench, filth. I mean, consider what your sins have done. And he comes, bringing salvation. And we desire to be where Jesus is. Yes, of course, God is omnipresent, even in the most sinfully wretched places on earth. But where does Jesus promise to be with you with his grace? Forgiveness. Where? He here. So he enters again this new Jerusalem to greet them and you, his bride, every Sunday. Remember when Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house, little Zacchaeus, right? Jesus said, salvation has come to your house. Salvation is where the flesh and blood of Jesus is. Salvation is not some abstract thought or decision, but the intrinsic gift of his presence, where he is, his word read, proclaimed, his sacraments. And there, his gifts of forgiveness, life, salvation. We so often forget that salvation still comes to his bride in his house, where the flesh and blood of Jesus still comes. I mean, don't miss this sacred mystery the liturgy teaches each week. Jesus is here for you today to draw you into, to give you the fruits of his passion in his supper. I mean, what the children cry out to Jesus, we cry out each week in the communion liturgy. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This chorus of praise still greets our King when he comes to be with his beloved in his body and blood in the supper. Your King still comes to you, still humble and lowly in his sacraments as a bridegroom to claim his bride, the church, in his new Jerusalem wedding feast. You know, in Jesus' humiliation dying, he teaches us a lesson. A lesson that may be, in fact, the most important key to living in this world. That strength is found in humble weakness. Joy is found in sorrow. Life is found in death. To stand firm in the faith, knowing he has your cause. It's proven at his cross, proven in his humble sacraments, proven in his word, in his church, in your baptismal life. And then the cross is the very pattern of your life. And Jesus bids you to come and follow him. Believe his promise. Not knowing where you go and or all that lays in store for you, but only that his hand is leading you, his love supporting you, his sacraments nourishing you. Today, Jonathan, Aubrey, Keegan, Dalton, Colin can confess their faith in this King, the bridegroom. I mean, every confirmation, a reminder of your confirmation. For he who redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sin, death, and the power of the devil with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You are born of water and blood from his pierced side. And a vow to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away. Here is the greatest news you will ever hear. He comes for sinners to forgive you by his passion and death. He is present in this place to hear, answer your prayers. Your hosannas never fall upon deaf ears. Your request for life, salvation is granted. Come. Receive the answer to your deepest need in this heavenly meal prepared for you. This week, our holiest days, what we are always about, always commemorating, observing, feasting, you have a measurable value, not only as a life he created, but as a dear baptized child, immeasurable worth because of what happens this week, what God is willing to pay to have you for eternity. Even keep you each day. Historical, magnificent events, you are part, joined to this story of salvation, given now for you. Behold, your King comes for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.